The debate has been heating up in regard to Canada's temporary foreign worker program, with many people saying it should be scrapped altogether because it takes away jobs from hardworking Canadians. Our next two guests, though, are here to tell us why they think there should be zero tolerance for employers taking advantage of the temporary foreign workers program. The program remains valuable for BC's shrinking trained workforce. And we'll get to Christian Codrington and Kelly Polak, who are my guests, in a moment. But first I want to run just a clip of Kaylin Crist, the McDonald's employee and whistleblower, who really, I think, opened up the wounds on this story a few weeks ago. And he was on while I was away with Mike Smith.
Blatant abuse of the system, right? I mean, they were hiring temporary foreign workers in place of Canadians and also cutting back on Canadians' hours to make room for the temporary foreign workers.
Right, and that included your hours.
That did include my hours, yes. I only missed out on maybe 8 hours a week, whereas some of my friends and coworkers who worked just as hard and deserved just as many hours were losing, you know, up to 30 hours a week. I tried to handle this on the inside, right? I didn't want to go and screw over a bunch of people. Yeah. If you can fix it from the inside, then why not, you know? And I tried to do that, but they didn't give me anything to work with. They basically told me that, you know, what I've told everyone else is that they think that temporary foreign workers work harder. And whether or not they do, yeah, they do work harder. Sometimes they do work harder, absolutely. But I was told, you know, that they were, this is actually what he said to me, he said, they're doing us a favor as a part of the management team by hiring temporary foreign workers because they would be more reliable than Canadians. This is what I was told. It was pretty clear that the system wasn't right and that we really wanted to change that. And absolutely I wanted to change that. I don't think it's fair to any of us, especially to the youth, which is underrepresented, right? We don't feel like we can speak up about something like this. You know, these business owners, we feel like they know what they're doing, and that if they're using this program, that they're using it legitimately. It's not until you really research it a little bit that you realize that they weren't. And, yeah, so, you know, obviously, I think it's not even fair because you think about this, they contacted the owner, the previous owner of these stores, and he said that he had nothing to hide. It's almost as if they didn't even know that they were breaking the rules.
Well, Christian Codrington is senior manager of professional practice of BC Human Resources Management Association. Kelly Polak is executive director with Immigrant Employment Council of BC. They are both here, is it fair to say, to defend the temporary foreign workers program? Christian?
I think I'd like to reframe that, Bill. I'd like to say that there's no room for any employer that misabuses their employees, whether they're domestically born or temporary foreign workers. And what you've got here, especially in the last year or so, is a lot of attention being drawn to abuses, employers taking advantage of vulnerable workers. And as a result, we're putting a jaundiced eye on a program that really can help any economy.
Kelly?
I agree with Christian, and I want to just go to one of the points that Mike just made on that clip. There is also no room for not giving our youth who need jobs, like the job that he had in McDonald's, to get their skills ready for moving forward in their careers. And that is when that happens when an employer is taking advantage of both the program and of workers.
My daughter worked when she was going to school for a time at Starbucks. Got great training, great experience, made some money to help with her school. So those jobs can be important as bridges or stepping stones to future employment. She went on to graduate and teach and whatever, but that was an important thing for her. So how do we get the balance right, Christian? Where employers need to find workers, and I've had arguments from people in the North that even at a McDonald's or some other fast food restaurant, they can't get enough local help in order to operate, even if they pay a wage that's quite above what they pay in Vancouver, and they insist they need the temporary foreign workers because their kids are going off to work in the oil patch.
Right. You raise a couple of great points there. One is a temporary foreign worker program worldwide. One of the benefits of when it's properly run is to ensure that we don't get this artificial escalation of wages when people in local pockets cannot fill jobs. because people are moving to more, you know, lucrative paying jobs in other parts of the country. So we've got to recognize that all this attention that we're drawing on this program really accounts for less than 1% of the working population of BC. We have an issue here in BC that we need to stay focused on, which is groups like the McDonald's up in Prince George's or other parts of the province are having difficulty attracting people to many of the jobs, whether it's retail, fast food, construction, infrastructure build. And if we continue down this road of drawing attention to a program that has so little effect on the working population, we're going to take our eye off the bigger prize, which is what do we do to ensure that this province continues to prosper going forward.
But Kelly Polak, you're executive director of the Immigrant Employment Council of BC. Why are we bringing in people on a temporary basis as opposed to bringing them in to become Canadian citizens down the road?
We're doing both. And to Christian's point earlier, when we don't have enough skilled British Columbians, and skilled British Columbians may be native-born or may have immigrated to Canada and to the province of BC to fill all of the jobs that we need, then there is need to bring in temporary foreign workers, particularly in regions of the province or in particular sectors where there's shortages. But one of the critical things in to use Christian's term of keeping our eye on the prize is what we need to do is try and fast track many of those people into permanent residency. We need more people in British Columbia to grow our communities and our economy.
But does not denigrating people who work in fast food restaurants, but it's not a highly skilled job. Most kids can do it pretty much right out of school or while they're going to school. So in a populated area like Vancouver, Victoria, is there really any excuse to go to the temporary foreign worker program?
If I could speak to that, I mean, let's look at Stampede coming up in Calgary. They're going to need a bunch of people on a short-term basis quickly. Temporary foreign worker program does help augment a population that might not be attracted to work in this sort of two-week job for the wages that are currently being offered. So, I mean, it does act as a solution to some problems.
Surely I will have listeners who say, well, raise the wages.
Well, and I think it's a more comprehensive solution that we need to look at. And as I said earlier, raising the wages is one issue that we could be definitely looking at. As I had mentioned, I think in one of the other arguments that I put out, BC has got a challenge right now. We've got an aging workforce. We've got a lot of young people moving out of BC. Our net migration flow to Alberta, for example, was negative 7,600 last year. People between 18 and 34, more 7,600 more people moved to Alberta than the other way around. We're losing our young population in this province, and our province really relies on a young, capable, physically capable workforce.
But don't we also have a disproportionate number of unemployed young people in BC, even with those who are leaving?
Certainly in major centers we do, not necessarily out in the Prince George, Kelowna, and up north.
Back with calls, questions, comments. This has been a hot topic, I know, for some time. 604-280-9898, toll free 1-877-399-9898. My phones are open to you, and I also welcome your participation on Twitter and on Facebook. Talking about temporary foreign workers, my two guests, Christian Codrington and Kelly Polak, think the program has got a bit of a bad rap. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay, let me get some calls. Tim, good morning.
An experience that I'm going through right now is I'm trying to hire a class one licensed dump truck driver. So, you know, I put an ad on Craigslist. I get four or five replies. I forward them to my brother to phone up and see if they, you know, want to come in and work. And we don't get phone call back. And the one guy that said he's going to show up today doesn't show up. So I want to go back to the office and find out an agency that will get me a foreign worker, anybody that will show up to work.
Christian Codrington? It's not an unusual call or comment that I get.
No, and I have a lot of sympathy for Tim because, I mean, at the same time we're hearing statistics that people are having difficulty finding work, I'm hearing from my membership that the employers are having a hard time filling vacancies. And Tim's example is pretty indicative of things that are happening throughout the province.
Farron.
Sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Hearing about the employee from McDonald's that, you know, was the whistleblower and started the attention on all this, I'm so grateful to him. And your other guest is bringing up issues about, like, the Calgary Stampede and how they need workers for that. Well, that might be true, but the Calgary Stampede's been there for a heck of a long time, and they always manage to pull off the show. So I don't think there's an immediate need to switch those kind of characteristics. There's always challenges. And even your last guest that just called in, I share his pain because I have a small business as well. And I find trying to find employees is very difficult. But I had to educate myself in better ways on enticing people to come and work for me. And that was also using agencies or Workopolis. And, just putting an ad out on Craigslist, that's not enough effort. You have to do more to find good people, and I agree that it's very hard to do so, but opening this temporary foreign worker program for general jobs is insane. I mean, it's might as well, we have the Vancouver PNE, are we gonna, you know, I mean, there's been kids for a century that line up for those jobs every year.
I park cars at the PNE.
There you go. These things are there and the jobs are tough, but when you're talking about a McDonald's in downtown Victoria that's ousting their own staff of Canadian-born citizens.
Well, I don't think that either of my guests would approve of that, and I think that it was that kind of abuse that was responsible for giving the program that my guests actually support a black eye.
And there are improvements necessary in the program. There's no question about that, Bill. But it's a valid solution for many employers to meet some temporary work needs. Kelly, I don't know if you...
Well, I appreciate the caller speaking to the point that employers need to be as proactive as possible to hire local first, hire from within British Columbia. But I'm still going to say, if you look at what we're facing in this province, they call it the triple squeeze factor, you know, aging demographics, declining birth rate, and increased demand for skilled labor, there will come a time for sectors and for regions where they are going to need to bring in temporary workers.
Matt, good morning.
Yeah, you guys didn't ask that guy that was looking for a dump truck driver if they bother phoning Teamsters 213, because I can guarantee you they can have a guy there tomorrow. But he's not going to want to pay the wages. And that's the problem. I've been in the trucking industry. I'm just going to use that as an example. I'm also a business owner, but I've been in the trucking industry for 34 years, okay?
Yep.
I see trucking companies that are paying wages that I started for 30 years ago, and they're bitching and whining they can't get workers, and then they wonder why. I guarantee you, anybody who needs a truck driver, phone Teamster 213, they'll fill them up the spare board tomorrow with a livable wage. That's the key. These guys that can't get employees, it's because they don't pay a livable wage. In my business, we pay a livable wage. We don't ever have any trouble attracting good talent.
Good to hear, Matt, and thank you for the tip. Robert, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the fellow who's got a fucking company. I do agree with him. The wages have to be increased. I know trucking companies pay maybe about $16, $15 an hour when it should be about a $25. My company, we pay a little tad over that to make sure that they don't go anywhere tomorrow. But regarding the ad, Craigslist, I put out an ad just last week for a class one tractor trailer person, and I got six or seven responses in 2 hours with good experienced people. But I just, maybe what that was the kicker is the $25 an hour I had advertised, so I missed that part that gentleman said, but he's got a point there. You do have to have a livable wage, otherwise nobody's going to go anywhere. You pay them that, they won't go anywhere. You know, they'll be bragging to their friends, this is a great job I got, you know, sitting around the evening. If he quits, they'd wonder, are you mental? It's like, why would you quit a job like that? So they're very proud of it, but they need to have that wage, and that's my opinion on that.
Thank you, Robert. Terry.
Thanks for taking my call, Bill. Yeah, you know, I kind of take exception to a lot of these employers, and it's been out there quite a bit, Bill, on actually how lazy us Canadians are and how hard these foreign workers work. These foreign workers, keep in mind, this is like winning a lottery for them. This is huge money for them, right? You know, and they're not trying to get through school in this country. They're not trying to get a car on the road to get to work and to get to school. And, you know, put them foreign workers in our kids' shoes, and I think they'd be singing a different tune, and I don't think they'd be working as hard either.
Well, the fact is they are working hard, and in many cases they're working to support families in places like the Philippines or Mexico, and yeah, maybe they are more motivated. I don't know. I would never stereotype Canadians as being lazy or kids being lazy. I hear the complaint from employers that it's hard to get good young people who are willing to commit and work hard, but I'm looking through my glass at two right now who are in their 20s and work extremely hard here at CKNW. And we've got lots of young people here who work really hard, and I don't think any of them are classified as foreign workers.
I'd echo that point, Bill. I think we need to be careful as we look at one situation at a time that we don't make overgeneralizations. There are motivated workers, there are unmotivated workers. A couple of your callers also spoke about salary. Yes, I think that if you look at Stats Can numbers, for example, BC's median family income is $20,000 less than Alberta's. So, yeah, we definitely have some wage issues in this province. We also have to make sure that we're really looking at our human resources needs strategically and comprehensively going forward.
Why are wages 20% lower in British Columbia than in Alberta? Or does that factor in the oil patch?
I think
that must be a major factor, although I've talked to people. I talked to somebody recently in public relations who said their firm pays 20% more in Alberta than it does here in Vancouver. I guess because it can.
And there's a lot of offshoot from the oil patch. There's a lot of other businesses making money off of the oil patch that aren't directly unrelated to it.
And having to compete with the oil patch.
And Alberta as a province and Alberta businesses put a lot of focus on trying to attract and then retain people within that province.
I thank you both. We break for the news at the bottom of the hour, and this is related in a way of paying a living wage. What would the impact of that be? You heard the story yesterday in Seattle. They're moving to a minimum wage of $15 an hour. What would that do here? Stay tuned.